Begin the current Daven, Sechtes Gittin, Daf Chav Dalet, begin 10 lines down from the top of the Amud. The Gemara continues to explain the Mishnah in the previous Daf. That is, we explain who are certain women that we're saying that besides regular Shluchim could also bring the get from the husband to the wife. So in that we said there, the five women who hate her could still bring the get. And additionally, the Mishnah says, as our Gemara quotes, Ha'isha Atzma Mevi'a B'chulu, even the woman herself could bring her get, as long as she says, B'fani Nachta, B'fani Nachta. The Gemara wonders. Isha mechimata gituliyada, a woman, for the moment the get enters in her hand, meaning when she receives it from her husband overseas, igar shala, already then she becomes divorced. In other words, if she would want at that point in time to go ahead and burn her get, she'd still be divorced, and she doesn't have to bring the get in front of us, in front of the courts in Eretz Yisrael. The only reason why she would have to bring it to the courts would be just as a proof, to prove that she actually received it from her husband. So the question is, why does she have to say b'fani nechtem? She's not a shliach. She's divorced. Even though she wants to, let's say, bring it to the court just to prove it, fine, just show it to the courts. But the divorce happened back then in overseas when she received from her husband. Why the requirement of her saying b'fani nechtem? Meaning, we believe her. She could bring her get, just like she's believed to say her husband died. But why would she have to say b'fani nechtem? She's not a shliach. She got divorced when she received it from her husband overseas. So Amr Rav Huna explains, he says, but Omer, it's talking about where he says to her, he tells her, I don't want you to be divorced until you get to that court. So therefore, she's not divorced the moment she receives it overseas. He says he wants it to happen when she gets home in Eretz Yisrael. So the Gemara still asks, fine. But Saif, at the end, Kimat Yahasam, when she gets there to the court in Eretz Yisrael, Igar Shalah, then she gets divorced. In other words, what does it mean she gets divorced then? From when she had received it from her husband overseas, because the menasin biyada was fulfilled then overseas. This that he said, he only wants her to be divorced when she gets to the court in Eretz Yisrael, that's just a tenai, a condition in the gerushin, that's when I want the divorce to happen, when you get to that place. Fine, but when the condition is fulfilled, that's when she gets divorced, but she's not coming in the capacity as a shliach, as an agent. It's just fulfilling the tanai, but she was divorced from overseas. So again, why the requirement of b'fanei nechtem, which is only by a shliach? So El Amar Rav Huna bar Manoach Mishmeder of Acha Bered of Ikka, he says, D'amala, the case of Toma, where he tells her, ki matis hasam, when you get there to the court that I'm sending to you, to Eretz Yisrael, as neche a'ara v'shakle, I want you to put it down on the ground and then take it. In other words, the husband is making the wife into a bona fide shliach l'alacha as an agent. Now, this that when she's taking it from the ground, that's when she'll be divorced. And therefore, there was no divorce overseas. And it's not just a tanai that happens when she gets there. You're my shliach l'alacha. Although you happen to be the wife I'm divorcing, fine. You go ahead, you bring it, put it down on the floor, and then you'll take it from the ground, then you'll be divorced. And that's why she has to say, b'fani nechtem, b'fani nechtem. Now the Gemara asks, ihachi, if that's the case, but that's difficult. But that qualifies for what's known as the halacha as take your get from the ground. Where if, let's say, a husband puts the get on the ground, he says, you know what, you take it and you get divorced like that. The Amar Rava, and Rava says, which this Rava is brought later on, the Ein Chesem and Aleph, that tligitich me'al gabe karka, in such a case where the husband says, here, take your get from the ground, loy amar klom, he hasn't said anything, in other words, that will not be a valid divorce, because you need, as the pasuk says, v'nasin b'yada, he has to put it in her hand. She can't go ahead and take it. It has to be given to her from the husband to her. Now, if that's the case, the way you're describing it, that she's the shliach halacha, she brings it to court and she puts it down, and then she takes it from the table, well, then the shliach halacha is not giving it to her. She's taking it. She can't take it. It has to be given to her. So that's not a valid case either. So Ella, rather, the Gemara says, the Amar Lo, where he tells her, have a shliach halacha ad matas hasam. He tells her, look, and we're trying to explain why she's saying b'fani nechtem. He tells her, you're going to be the agent to bring it to yourself until you get there. Now, v'chimatas hasam, when you finally get there, heve, then you yourself will become shliach, your own agent, l'kabbalah, to receive, v'kibli at kitech, and then you'll receive the get from your own hand. So, you're both. You're shliach l'alacha, and then you get there, you put it into your left hand, and then you're receiving it from the shliach l'halacha, and then you're a shliach l'kabbalah, you're your own agent of receipt, of receiving the get from yourself, which is from me. Now the Gemara asks, but that also doesn't work. But that's a type of agency which cannot return to the husband, to the one who sent her as the shliach. In other words, such a shliach would not be valid because a status as an agent can only be someone who's sent from one person to another person who, once he executes his agency, his shlichus, is fit to go back to the mishaleach, to the one who sent him, and to say, I did what you had appointed me to do to bring to the other person. Now, the problem is, in this case, conceptualization, she's not able to go back to her husband who sent her. And the reason being is because the way we just described it, she was being sent to herself. Now, the problem is, once that happens, she becomes the other party, and then the agent, her being an agent, is not even there anymore before she gets a chance to go back, because she's not the agent anymore. In other words, the agent has to be able to say, as his capacity of agent, you're taking me, okay, I'm going to go to one place, do what you want, and then I come back, all within the capacity as a shliach. Problem is, here it's not shlichus that could be chizera tzeis labal, because the moment she gets there, she gives it to herself, she herself is not the agent anymore. She has already been transferred from the role of agent to woman who's being divorced. She can't go back and tell her husband, in the capacity as agent, that I did what you told me to do. So maybe that's not a good case either. So Rav the Gemara says, the Amar law, the case is Toma where he tells her, Heve shliach lo'ilocha ad-demotis hasam. As we said before, you be the agent to deliver the get for yourself until you get there. V'chimotis hasam, when you get there, then shavi, then appoint another person to be a shliach le'kabbalah, to be your own agent of receipt. Where now, she doesn't lose yet her role of agent, because she's giving it to someone else who is receiving it for her, so she could stay within her role as shlich lelacha, and then she could go back to her husband and tell him, doesn't have to, but you have to be fit for that, to go back and tell him that I did what you sent me to do. That would be a valid case. But that the Gemara still asks, ha nich leman dama, that's very well according to the opinion that says, which this is discussed later on, daf samach gimel mabeis, which actually the reasoning for these different opinions are discussed shortly in this Gemara. This answer would only work according to the one who says, Isha Isa Shlich Lekabla Gita, a woman could appoint an agent to receive her get, Miyad Shlich Baila, from the agent of the husband. There could be two, usually it's the husband giving the get to the wife. But there is an opinion that says that neither the husband will do anything, neither the woman. In other words, the husband will appoint his Shlich, the woman will appoint her Shlich, and the one Shlich will give it to the other Shlich. So that works in such a case. We hear it's not the husband giving it, his wife is his agent, and she's not receiving it, her own shlich lekabbalah will receive it for her. So that's good according to that opinion. But according to the opinion, again, this is discussed later on, that holds that a woman cannot appoint a shlich lekabbalah when it's being received from a shlich lahilacha, which that's the case over here, where she herself is a shlich lahilacha, and she's giving it to her own shlich lekabbalah, so ma'ikla meimer. So what can you say in such a case? It shouldn't work, according to that opinion. So the Gemara says, no, that's not difficult. Because time am I. What's the reason why we say, according to that opinion, that a woman cannot make a shliach to receive her get from the shliach of her husband? That's b'shum de'ikke b'zoyin de'bal. That's because it's generally, that would be a slap in the face, a disgrace to the husband, because he's going to think, she's degrading me. In other words, she doesn't feel it's fit for her to go ahead and receive the get that I'm sending her. Therefore, he doesn't want his shliach to give it over to her shliach. And if his shliach gives it over to her shliach, he doesn't want it to be a get. And because that wasn't his intention when he sent it. What, she's not able to go and receive it from my shliach? Now, whereas Rashi points out, although we know there is a halach of shliach lekabbalah, that if, let's say, the husband himself gives it to the shlich lekabbalah, where if he himself is giving over to the wife's shlich, we obviously see that he's not particular about it because he's doing it. But as long as we don't see that he's okay with it, we assume that it would bother him. Where if, let's say, his shlich is going in and delivering it and he hears it's her shlich lekabbalah, he's like, what are you talking about? No, I don't want it to be a get. Let her go ahead and receive it from my shlich. What's our problem? Now, that's why generally it doesn't work from his shlich to her shlich. But v'hacha b'haloi kapit. In this case, obviously the husband is not bothered by that because this is exactly what he told her to do, as we described this case, where he says, you be the shlich le'ilacha, and then you appoint a shlich le'kabbalah to receive it for you. So therefore, as the Gemara, you're right. It is a shliach to a shliach. But in this case, obviously he's not bothered by that, and there's no b'zayin d'bal because he's telling her to do this. But the Gemara still asks, ha'nich le'man d'ama b'shem b'zayin d'bal. That would only work according to the one who says that the reason why the opinion holds that a woman cannot make a shlich lekabbalah to receive from his shlich leilacha, that it's because of the bezoin of the husband, that would work in this case where there's no bezoin because he's telling her to do it. But according to the interpretation of that opinion that holds, that the problem is because of a later acquired korchot. Now, what this case is just that it's similar, which is a problematic case. The chatzar that comes at a later point in time to the woman's domain with the get inside of it is similar to a shlich lelocha given to a shlich lekabbalah. The case is as follows. If the husband throws his wife's get, not into the woman's domain, into her courtyard, because then she would be divorced, he throws it into his friend's courtyard. Now, after that, the woman says, my get, I want to get divorced, is in this guy's courtyard. So what she does is, she calls up that guy and says, I'm willing to pay and buy your courtyard. Now, what essentially is that's like, is that the husband made that chatzar into a shlich lahilacha, which means to say that where he put the get. Now, when she then goes ahead and buys that field, she essentially is making that field into her shlich likabalah, that for her to receive and be divorced through that get. Now, if we allow a shlich lelocha to give a shlich likabalah, we might come to say that that case that we just described with a chatzar habala achamikin that she acquires after the husband had already put the get inside over there, we might think that that would also work, that she'd be divorced that way, which halachically is not the case. The reason being is because actually a chatzar does not work through the medium of shlichus, of agency. Rather, it works because it's her yad. It's considered an extension of her. It's considered her domain, her property. And that doesn't work in that case because when the husband had placed it there, when he did the benosan, it wasn't biyada because it wasn't her field yet. So that case wouldn't work. And therefore, since that's a problem, we also say that you can't do any shlich lelocha to shlich lekabbalah because then you might come to confuse it with the case of the chatzar, which is similar in a way in that case because it's like he's putting it into this courtyard, saying, okay, this I did my job of delivering it to the woman. And then when she goes and gets and buys that field, it's like she's saying, okay, now you field, you're my shlich lekabbalah, which again, it doesn't come from shlichas, therefore it doesn't work. So asks the Gemara, according to that interpretation, according to that one, what are you going to say? That has nothing to do with bezoin the baal. It's in any case that a shlich lelocha would not work shlich lekabbalah, even if the husband's telling her to do that. So therefore, according to that interpretation, it's difficult. How would this case work? You can never have a shlich lelocha to shlich lekabbalah. So the Gemara answers, you're right. The Amar law, the case would be talking about where the husband tells the wife, heve shlich lelocha ademotis hasam. Again, as we've been saying previously, you be the shlich to deliver it until you get there. When you get there, so Shavi, appoint another person to be a shliach lahalacha, to be a further messenger of delivery. In other words, what we accomplish with this is so that the woman now, since she still maintains her role as shliach, because she did her job, which was to give it to the next person to be the shliach lahalacha, she can go back to the husband and say, look, I did what you asked me to do, which is a requirement, a requisite of any shliachas. Now, after that, v'kibli eskitach minei, then you go ahead and you receive your get from that shliach. Now, that's okay because what's called a shliach she'asa shliach, one agent that makes another agent, the Gemara tells us in later on the Chavtes Mabez, and this will explain to us the halacha of saying b'fani nechav v'nechdem, the first shliach that makes the second shliach has to do it in court, which the shliach comes to court and says, look, I was supposed to go ahead and deliver it. I want to pass it on to a next shliach lecha. I'm not going all the way to the woman. Then that shliach says in front of the court, where in this case it's the woman herself who is the first shliach lecha, befanei nechtav, befanei nechtam. So this is exactly the case that we're discussing. The woman, as our Mishnah said, she'isha atzma mevias gita. But as long as she says befanei nechtam, what's the case talking about? When the husband tells her, you be the shliach lecha to give it to another shliach lecha, which means the first shliach has to say in court befanei nechtam, and therefore you are a shlich that could be chazeres labala. And moreover is that then you can go to that shlich lelocha and receive your get from that shlich lahilocha. That's one case. V'ibayisema, or another approach which is similar, in which Taisus struggles about what's the difference between this and the first case, is the amala where the husband tells to the wife, have a shlich lelocha dematas hahasam. You be a shlich of delivery until you get there. V'chimatas hasam, when you get there to the court, ima kamed beidina, say in front of the courts, b'fani nechtam, b'fani nechtam, which is what every shlich lelocha does. U'mashvi beidina shlich, and then the court will make another agent, v'leitzvu nahalech, and that agent will give it to you, again, similar to like the previous case, which is essentially like another shlich lelocha, and therefore you don't run into any of the problems that we ran into in the halachas of shlichis, and of shlich halacha to shlich lekabala. It's a shlich halacha to another shlich halacha, which the first shliach, which is the woman, says b'fanei nechtav, b'fanei nechtam, and then she can receive it from that second shlich halacha. Hanu lacha may beget, we shall return to you the second perek mesechtes gittin, perek may beget, and with that we begin the third perek mesechtes gittin, perek kol get, which continues on the theme of the writing and the delivery of the get. So the Mishnah begins, kol get shenichtav shaloi l'shum isha pasla. Any get that's written what's called shaloi lishma, not for the sake of this woman, is invalid. So, okay, so the Mishnah explains what is the case that we're discussing. So there's four different types of cases that illustrate this halacha of the requirement of writing the get, lishma, again, which we explained the difference between Rimei, Rebbe Lazar, is it the writing, is it the signing? But either way, the get has to be written lishma. So Kate said, what's the case? It says the Mishnah, hoya oiva b'shuk. If a man was walking in the street, in the marketplace, b'shama kol seifrim, he hears the voices of the scribes, those who write gittin, that makrin, they're calling out, and he hears them in their hall, ish pleini megarish, is pleinis, this man is divorcing that woman, mimakam pleini, from that place. V'amen, he says, you know what, that's so interesting. Zeshmi, they called out, this is my name. V'zeshem ishli, this is my wife's name. What? And it's the city that I live in. So it says the Mishnah Apostle Lagarish, but it's invalid. If let's say this is what they were writing, and they wrote Yankel and Leah, and from this city of Hutzenplatz, and that's where he lives, and he's like, amazing, why? I could use it? It's Apostle, because it wasn't written for the sake of him and this woman, it just happened to have been names that they used, that's invalid for him to divorce with it. Continues the Mishnah. Yes, Sir McCain, even more than this. The Gemara is going to explain why each case is more of a chiddush, of a novelty, in the requirement of halacha of lishma than the previous one, which is kasav legarishes ishta benimlach. Let's say a man wants to divorce his wife, and he writes up a get, and then benimlach, and then he changes his mind, he retracts, he doesn't want to divorce his wife at the end. But he has the get that he wrote up, Yankel divorcing Leah, and he lives in Hatziplatz. Matzoi ben iroi v'amaloi, now he finds someone that's his landsman, like it's called, somebody lives in his city, and he tells him, hey, shmi kishmecha v'shem ishtik shem ishtecha. You know what? I have the same name as you. My wife has the same name as your wife, and we live in the same city. So let me use your get, because instead of me going ahead and going through the whole process of writing up the get, says the Mishnah Apostle Ligarishbite. No, it's invalid from being used to divorce, again, because it wasn't written for this man and his wife. Now, moreover, as the Mishnah continues in Ahmed Bey's, yes, Mekane. Even more than this is as follows. Hayulei shtei nashim b'shmei sein shabbos. Let's say he had two wives, and both of them had the same name, let's say Leah. If he had it written up because he was got in a fight, he wanted to divorce the older one, which Rashi says not necessarily older, younger, that's just the way it's described, then he cannot go ahead and divorce the younger one with it. In other words, if he wrote up for him and his wife, Leah, he can't use it for the other wife that has the same name, Leah. It has to be written Lishma of that woman. Yes, McCain. More than this, the fourth case says the Mishnah, Amal Alavlev, let's say this man tells the scribe, he has two wives, Leah. Now, he doesn't want to be married to both of them. It's too much. He tells the scribe, look, write up a get for me. They both have the same name anyway. And I'll then use it for whichever one I end up deciding to, you know, at the last second, 11th hour, I'll decide which one I want to divorce. Says the Mishnah, no, pasul agarish boy. It's invalid to be used for divorcing. And the reason being is because what's known as the halacha concept as ein breira, we don't say that retroactively it's clarified that when it was written, which is at the time when it has to be written lishma, that it was for this one that was written lishma. No, since at the time that's being written, you don't know which one you want it for. You only can decide when you're giving it. That's not good because the makasav law, the writing has to be lishma or the signing. And at that moment, you didn't know yet. Therefore, that's not going to be valid. Now, the Reb in Taisus points out that even according to the opinion, which this is what's called a shas sugi, it's mentioned many times as shas, a machlekes, if you say yesh breira, is the retroactive clarification or not, would agree over here, and it wouldn't be difficult, because as we'll see in the Gemara, it says in the pasuk v'kasav law, which tells us it has to be written lishma, which the pasuk is telling us that it has to be clarified and verified at the time that it's being written for who it's for. So although generally you would say yesh breira, but here the pasuk is telling you that you don't say breira, it has to be clear when you're writing it, who you're writing it for, and therefore everyone would agree to this concept, and even the chiddush of this fourth case, that even though it's he's writing it for his wife, just not sure which one, it's not going to be valid because it's not being written at the time that's being written specifically for one of the his two wives. Now, the Mishnah said, as our Gemara quotes, kasav legarishes ishtei v'nimlach v'chulu, which was the second case. If he wrote to divorce his wife, one man and his wife, and he changed his mind. So the Mishnah said, so now another man in that city who has the same name and his wife has the same name can't go ahead and use that get. Now, so the Gemara asks, so ve'ela reisha, but then the first case, which spoke about when he hears the koil of the seifrim, which they're writing in their hole and they're calling out, this man with Yankel, let's say, is divorcing his wife, let's say Leah. So b'mai, what would that case be talking about? If not seemingly, which is the same case as the second case, which is because someone had hired them, who that man had said to divorce his wife, and then he changed his mind. And then this guy says, okay, let me use the get. So what's the difference between the first case and the second case? So Amar Papa, Papa says, no, the first case is talking about b'seifrin hasuyin l'islamit, when there are scribes that are just doing it to learn. They're learning how to write gittin. They're practicing askin, and that's what the case is, what we're talking about. That case, no one's writing at all for gerushin. And the second case is even more, in saying that even if it was written for a certain person, then he changed his mind, then it's even going to be possible. And Amar Vashi says, Dekanami Diktani, says a precise reading of the Mishnah indicates, like we just answered, because the Mishnah says, Seifrin Makrin, the scribes are calling out, which sounds like that the professional scribes are calling out to their students, and the writing on the blackboard says, write like this, Yaakov is divorcing Leah. In other words, he was telling them that when the get comes in front of you, when you have to write a get, so you write it, and you mention the name's man, and you mention the woman's man, and so on. So obviously, from the fact that it says Sefer Makrin, V'loikutoni Sefer Kairin, it doesn't say the scribes are calling out, because sometimes when the scribe is writing, so he says it out loud, he says, oh, Yaakov, we're divorcing Leah, and he's writing as he's talking. It doesn't say Kairin, it says Makrin. The teacher is teaching, Shema Minoy, you could refer from there that we're talking about students, and it wasn't even like the second case where at least someone had authored them to do it. It was just them on their own practicing with these common names. Now the Gemara asks, my yes for me came. As we alluded to in the Mishnah, we have four cases, and when it goes from one case to the next, it keeps on saying, and more than this, and even more than this, even this is not going to be considered valid because it's not Lishma. So Tan de Rabbi Bishmal, it was taught in the Brayos of the Yeshiva Bishmal, where he explains the Chiddush in all the four cases as follows. The first one was telling us, not only is the first case going to be possible, which it wasn't being even written for the purpose of divorce, it was only being written for the purpose of practicing, that not only is that not Lashma, but even the second case, which was being written at least for divorce, it's just that the husband changed his mind, even there, Pasul is going to be Pasul. And then we go on to the third case. Now, not only is the second case going to be Pasul, where it wasn't written for the divorce of this man, because it was written for another guy in his city who he has the same name, that's where we say it's possible. Ela avzeh, even the third case of our Mishnah, shenichtav l'shem gerishin didei, where at least it's being written for his own divorce, as we explained in the Mishnah, the third case is where he has two wives, where at least it was being authored by him for this man divorcing one of his wives, even then we're saying possible. And the reason being is because it's not being written for the gerishin of this woman, because it was for the other woman that had the same name, Leah. And that's what the Brayos of Rabbi Shmuel continues, it says, in other words, and not for the third case where, although yes, it's being written for this man, but it's not written for the gerishon of this one. It was written, let's say, for the older one, and he wants to use it for the younger one. That's not Lishma. Now, Ela avzeh shenichtav l'shem gerishon ha. But that's what the Brayos of Bishmol continues, but that's what the fourth case is teaching us a Chiddush, that even where it's being written for the divorce of one of his wives, meaning when he says, La'ezah she'erza, it wasn't being written for one of his wives, Leah, and then he changed his mind for the other one. Initially, he only wanted it for one of them, he just didn't say which one it is. Even that is what we're saying, puzzle. Where again, that's the where it keeps on getting more, where one is not even being written even for gerushin. The other one is being written for gerushin, but for a different man, not this man. The third one is being written for this husband, just for a different wife. And the fourth case is saying, no, it's not being written for a different wife. It's being written for this one. We just didn't say which one it is. Even that would be considered a flaw in the halacha of lishma. Now the Gemara wonders, okay, now we understand the chiddush inherent in each one, but my taima, what's the reason why all these cases are considered pasul? So the Gemara explains, Ikasav, had the Torah only written V'nosan sefer krisus b'yada, that he gives a book of separation, of divorce, into her hand. So havamina lemuute heichkam. I would have said that's only excluding the first case, the le'avid l'shem krisis, where the get itself was not even written as a sefer krisis, as a book of separation. It was being written as a practice book. So we would exclude that case. But in the, let's say, the second case, where, let's say, where a man writes it for it to be a sefer krisis for his wife, and he changes his mind, the avid l'shem krisis, where it was made for a divorce, ema kasha, then I would say it's kasha even for another man to use that same get, because it is a sefer krisis. Oh, kasha rachmona, the Torah tells us, the chasav. It says that the husband has to write it, which we see it's the husband has to author it, and not that someone else could write it, and then he could use it from that other husband. So that tells us the second case. But ikas rachmona b'kasha, had the Torah only written b'chasav, havamina, I would have thought to say, lemutehai, that excludes only the second case, tlei ihu kokasav law, where he's not writing it. But in the third case, where he has two wives, the Iuho Kasabla, where he wrote it, Emakash, I would say, even though he wrote it for Leah, the older wife, he could then later change his mind and use it for Leah, the younger wife. Kasrachman Allah. It says, V'chasav Allah, that he writes it to her, which says, Lishma, for her name, has to be written for that wife. So not only does he have to write it, in other words, not only does it have to be written as Croesus, and not only does he have to write it, it has to be written for this wife and not for another wife that has the same name. Then the question is, regarding the fourth case, V'seifa Lamali, why do we need the fourth case to tell us, that, which was the case of where he tells the scribe, write it for whichever one of my two wives that has the same name that I'm going to decide at that point in time. As Rashi explains, what is the chiddush in that fourth case? Because it already taught you that it has to be him that's divorcing, and it has to be her, that one wife, that's being written for. So, of course, we already know that it wasn't written specifically for her. What's being the chiddush in that fourth case? So as we mentioned before in the Mishnah, Hakamash Malan, what it's teaching us is the Ein Breira. We don't say that it was retroactively clarified at the time that it was being written, that it was for the intention of this one. We just didn't know at that time, but now that we decide to give it to that one, it's clarified that it was her who it was written for, and then seemingly it would qualify that it was him writing it and it was written for her. That's the chiddush that we say, no, Ein Breira, we don't consider it as if it was written for her, because it says specifically b'chasav la. That's the chiddush in these four cases, which would be problems with the halacha of Lishma. Now, the Gemara continues by quoting the third case of our Mishnah that said, kasav legarish esagdeilu. We said that if he writes to divorce the older one, we said, lo yagarish b'esagetan, as we explained the source for this, la Lishma. Even though they both have the same name, it's his name and it's his wife, both names are Leah, it doesn't make a difference. He can't go ahead and use it from one to the other. But now the Gemara has a whole discussion based on an inference of this halacha. It sounds like from the Mishnah, Ketana hu deloy motzi megarish be. Okay, we said that if you wrote it for the older wife, you can't go ahead and use it for the younger wife. Again, that's a problem in Lishma. But ha, the inference is, Gedayla motzi megarish be. But the older one could go ahead, who is written for, he could divorce his wife that has the same name as the other wife. That's a valid get. In other words, when she comes and she produces the get in court, we're not concerned to suspect that really she's a married woman. Now, why would we suspect that she's a married woman if she has a get? Because we could say that actually maybe the husband didn't give her the get. Maybe he gave it to the other wife, to the younger wife he gave her the get. And maybe she dropped it and the older wife found it. And now she comes to court, she says, look, has my name, has my husband's name, this witness is, I was divorced. We don't suspect that. And the reason being is because since she's holding the get in her hand, we assume in what's called a chazakah, that whatever is in the person's hand is really theirs. That's seemingly the halacha that you see from our Mishnah, where the one that you did write it for could use it. Now, Amar Rava says, Rava, Zaysem Meres, what you can infer from the halacha of our Mishnah is, when you have Shnei Yesiv ben Shimon Hadarn Be'ir Achas, if you have two people by the same name, where in Talmudic times they didn't have last names, they would call him by the name of his father. So there's two people that are called Yesiv, the son of Shimon, who live in the same city. What you can infer is, Meitzin Shtar Chayiv Alachayim, that they could produce documents of debts on other people as creditors to other debtors. In other words, what this means is as follows. If let's say there's two people, again, the same name, Yesiv ben Shimon, in the same city, that produces a document of debt that's owed to him by someone else, the borrower cannot say to him, wait a second, I didn't borrow from you. I borrowed from the other guy in this town who has the same name as you. And although you're producing the document, he dropped it, and you are not my creditor. Now, we don't say that, says Rava, obviously. Rather, we say that since he's holding the document, he could go ahead and collect with it seemingly the same halacha as in our Mishnah, where the woman who's holding the get, we assume that she was the one that got the get. We don't have to suspect that maybe the other one dropped it. That's the inference of Rava. On that, asked the Gemara, Amalei Abaye, Abaye asked on Rava, Elami Ata. If that's the case, like you're making this whole dig from our Mishnah, so too you can make a similar dig from the halacha of our Mishnah, which would contradict the inferences as follows. Reisha Diktani, let's go back to the previous case, the second case of the Mishnah, that we said if the first man had written it, and he changed his mind and doesn't want to divorce his wife. A second guy comes along and says, look, Shmi Kishmecha, my name is like your name. Give me your get, and I'll use it for my wife. That the Mishnah said, no, pasul legarish boy. It's invalid for him to use it to divorce his wife. Now, we have that the husband's names are the same. Says Abai to Rava, you should make an inference here also that what? Sheinuhu dolei motzei megarish bei. Similarly from our Mishnah is that the second guy cannot divorce his wife with that get, because that would be a problem with Lishma. But harishain, but the first guy who it was written for him, he wrote it for his wife, sounds like dem motzei megarish bei, that he would be allowed to divorce his wife with that. Now, the understanding of that is, meaning what happens then would be, is that when his wife comes at a later point in time and produces the get to show that she was divorced from her husband, we do not say, because of the stringency of Aishas Ish, that maybe it actually wasn't her husband who wrote it for her, rather the other man who wrote it, and he gave it to her. But it wasn't her husband who gave it to her. Obviously, you don't say that, and the woman could go ahead and produce the get at a later point in time. Now, the problem is, v'hamrinan, but we say in the Mishnah, in Paraged Pashid and Baba Basa, Davkof Ayin Bezim at Aleph, where it talks about this same halacha that we're discussing, when you have two Yesid ben Shimon who live in the same city, that the Mishnah says over there that they cannot produce documents one on the other. One Yesid ben Shimon cannot take a document where the other Yesid ben Shimon says, I, Yesid ben Shimon, borrowed money from Yesid ben Shimon. Now, either one of them can't go ahead and produce that document on the other one. And, as our Gemara quotes, v'loy achar yochel lohitzi alein shtar chayv, and neither could anyone else come with a document of debt on either one of these Yesid ben Shimon. The reason being is because any one of the Yesid ben Shimon will tell the creditor, I didn't borrow money from you. What do you want from me? My friend who has the same name as me, he borrowed money from you. And he gave you this document of a loan that he owes you money and I don't owe you money. Now, as Rashi explains, even though there is a machlekes tanoim over there regarding their ability to collect from other people and to the fact that we're not concerned that maybe it dropped from the other one, and we say, no, if he's holding it, he could collect, and he says, look, I'm Yesid ben Shimon, I'm holding the document, don't tell me it's that other guy. But both tanoim agree that no one could collect from them, as we explained, because they're for sure, how are you going to prove it? You're holding a document? Yeah, Yesid ben Shimon owes you. But not this Yesid ben Shimon, that Yesid ben Shimon, he owes you money. Now, therefore, Abaye's question is, here also, we should say the same thing, if you're paralleling these two sugyas, that maybe her husband did not write it to her. Maybe the other Yesid ben Shimon in the town wrote it for his wife, he changed his mind, didn't divorce her, and then he threw it out because he wasn't interested in it. And then this woman found it, and she's using it, and now she's claiming that she's divorced. Now, but that contradicts the inference that you're making, that seemingly we would make from our Mishnah, where we said that if the husbands have the same name, she could use the get, but if you're paralleling that sugya of Yesid ben Shimon's, she shouldn't be allowed to, just like you can't go ahead and collect from a Yesid ben Shimon when they both have the same name. Here they both have the same name, and essentially the woman's like a creditor collecting from the debtor. But when the debtors have the same name, you can't collect because you can't prove it. So how could this woman prove in the court that she was divorced by her husband if maybe it's from the other Yesid ben Shimon? So Ella, rather, Abaye says, Mayis l'chalamem, what do you have to say? Be'ed de Mesira, must be that our Mishnah is talking about when there are witnesses who saw it being given over from her husband to her. Rebbe Lazar, and it's going like Rebbe Lazar, who the witnesses recognize both of them, the husband and the wife, and they testify that we saw that it was this man, this Yesid ben Shimon, who gave it over to this woman. But regarding Edi Chesima, when you have just witnesses sign a document, we wouldn't say that. Because, yeah, as we say, that maybe this man who wrote it and signed it changed his mind, didn't divorce his wife, and rather he gave it over to this other man's wife who has her husband has the same name as him. And he's like, you know what? Go ahead, take it, you know, and just go to court and claim you were divorced by your husband. Because here you have witnesses signed, because witnesses were signing truthfully for me. But they're not going to know that in court. And then you could claim it was written by your husband. So therefore, you're right. Of course, that wouldn't work. Because as we prove from that Mishnah Baba Basra, which parallels our halacha when the two husbands have the same name, it would only work with Eid Mesira. Says Abayita Rabba Zahachinami Heroes in the third case of the Mishnah, which you wanted to make an inference from. It's only Toma Be'ed Mesira Rebbe Lazar. It's Toma when you have witnesses who see it being given over. And therefore, there's no concern that maybe it was given over to the other woman, because we have witnesses who saw which lay it was given over to. But, says Abaya, when it's just witnesses who are signed in the document, I would always tell you that of course we would be concerned that maybe the other one was divorced, and we would be concerned that maybe it fell. And the same thing would apply by Shtari Chayiv, which you wanted to extrapolate from the halacha of our Mishnah to documents of debts. Where of course not. You can't go ahead and collect with this debts on other people, because yes, we would be concerned about the fact that it fell. And therefore, Abaye refutes the proof of Rava, because obviously it you cannot prove when they have the same name. And it only works because we have Eid Mesira both in the second case of our Mishnah and in the third case of our Mishnah. And therefore, there's no raya, like Rava said, the Bzlisa Meres, that when you have two Yesa Ben Shimons living in one city, that they could collect from other people. Not necessarily that case, because the whole inference is from the halacha of our Mishnah. And our Mishnah is not talking about Eid Chasim, it's talking about Eid Mesira, because Eid Chasim itself would not prove that it's actually one of them. And therefore, the guy could say that, no, you can't collect from me. I owe Yosef ben Shimon, but it's the other Yosef ben Shimon. He lent me money, and he dropped it, and you're collecting with that document. Only if there were Eidim Esir who saw it being given over, oh, that's clear, they saw which one it was, then you can go ahead and utilize such a get or such a shtar. Now, relating to the halacha of our Mishnah, Amar Rav, Rav says a kulon, he qualifies, he says, all the gittin that was said in our Mishnah, although that we said that there's flaws in the halacha of Lishma with them, and therefore they're invalid to be used to divorce, to permit the woman to go get married. But, paislin, they do invalidate that woman, bikuhuna, from the halachas of kuhuna. In other words, if let's say her husband, that she was married to, was trying to divorce her, but it's a flawed get, if he was a husband, she now becomes pasul to him in the halachic status as a grusha, chutz min harishon, except for the first of the four cases. The reason being why that case is different is because, as we explained, that case wasn't being written for gerushin at all, so it has no relationship with the get whatsoever. It's being written as practice. If he went and gave her that get, nothing would happen. But the other three cases would invalidate her, and she would be considered as somewhat of a grusha. It's not really a grusha, but regards to the halachas of kuhuna, meaning she'd be puzzled from truma, she'd be puzzled to her husband that's a kayin, because they are what's known as reich haget. They have the scent of a get. Whereas the Gemara tells us later on, the last parak on Pei Beis and Abayis, where if a man tells his wife, Hare at mikureshes mimeni, you're divorced from me, but v'i'at materes l'chaladim, you're not permitted to anyone else, which, what does that mean? A get is divorcing her from him, and now she's permitted to everyone else, although it's not a valid get, but she's puzzled from kuhuna right now. Because as the pasuk says, v'isha grusha mi'isha, when a woman is divorced from her husband, what does that mean? It means even if she's only divorced from her husband and she's not permitted to anyone else, she's still pasul to kuhuna, because that's where the pasuk told me over there. She becomes invalidated. So these halachas are, although they're flawed gittin, but they are some type of a get. They're just flawed in lishma. If he gives her that get, although she's not fully divorced, but she is pasul from kuhuna, it's enough to create what's called a reicha get, to make a woman pasul from kuhuna. That's Rav's opinion. Shmuel Amar, he says, Afrishanami Paisley actually holds even the first one would invalidate her from kuhuna, because he also considers that as reich haget, as a scent of a get, because it's still written like a get, although it wasn't written for the purpose of krisis, still it will invalidate her from kuhuna. As the Gemara says, V'az de Shmuel Tameh, Shmuel goes according to his opinion mentioned elsewhere, the Amar Shmuel, that Shmuel says, Kalmokim Shoshana Chacham, get pasul, wherever the sages call something a pasul a get, which includes in our Mishnah even the first case, which is a get pasul, even though it's not really a get, pasul upaisul, it's invalid and it invalidates. So too, wherever Masechtas Yevamos that it says something is called a chalitza psula, it's an invalid chalitza, which is the procedure that's done between the Yavam and the Yevama to separate them. It's psula, it's invalid, meaning it does not permit her to get married to other people, but upaislasa mina achen, it also invalidates her from doing yibam to any one of the other brothers. because it already qualifies. It doesn't say asher lo bana es beis achiv in the past tense. It says asher lo yivne, that will not build. Where the pasuk tells us that once you did chalitza, you can't go ahead and do binyan, which is like if you give a get or something like that. So although it's not considered a chalitza, but it's enough considered chalitza to make her pasul, but it's pasul itself. It's not a valid chalitza to permit her to others. And that's the same thing he holds over here, where it's called a get pasul. So although it's not going to permit her to get married, but it's still considered enough get pasul, even in the first case, to invalidate her as a reyach get from her husband that's a kain. Now, however, the Gemara tells us, b'marava amri mishmeid rebalaza, in the West, in Eretz Yisrael, they said a name of rebalaza, not like Shmuel. Because there they said, smoil, if chalitza happened with the left hand, where the Gemara in Yevamos Kavdal Meralf tells us that that's pasul, has to be done with the right hand, so too, if let's say chalitza was done, v'layla was done at nighttime, there it's pasulois to paisleis. There it's not a valid chalitza, but it will invalidate her from, let's say, having even done with the other brothers, because it's at least considered a chalitza was done, it just wasn't done in total validity, so that would be called a chalitza psula. Because we learn out from regal from Mitzrayim, where it has to be the right. And Lila the Gemara there learns up also why it has to be not a day, not a night. So there it wouldn't be puzzle and also be paisless. However, as we continue, Tabach of Hayyaman Aleph, Katan, if it's a minor that does the chalitza, or Vampilia, if it's done with instead of a shoe, it's done with a sock, a shoe made out of a garment, then Pesulais, then it's not a chalitza at all. And the reason being is because the pasuk tells us it has to be an ish, not a minor. It has to be a nal, a shoe, not a sock. And therefore, the ain't paislois. There, in the Eretz Yisrael, they said, not like Shmuel, that it's not going to, and not everywhere where it's a chalitza psula is a paislois. It has to be a bona fide chalitza, just having invalidating factors, like a nighttime, or the left, instead of the right. But if it's something that's totally not what the pasuk says, like a minor or a sock, then it's totally not a chalitza, and therefore, unlike Shmuel, like in the case where he says over here, where it's not even a get at all, it's just written like a get, they would agree that it would not be considered something that would be also paisleis, and would not invalidate her from a kuna, and so too in this case, it would not make her a problem for the other brothers to do yibam. And this machlekes between Rav and Shmuel, what's considered a reyach get and what's not, is continued on the next daf regarding different opinions and what's considered a reyach get in regarding the four cases of a Mishnah and what's not.